All right. Just a quick announcement. I need to meet with all of you Sunday school teachers. If you have a Sunday school class, I need to meet with you today. We'll do that this afternoon, probably just a quick meeting after the afternoon service today. And I'll try to remember that again later. But just so I get it out there now, we need to meet today, okay? Sunday school teachers, thank you. All right. As I said, I'm going to begin a series of messages on bringing children to salvation. And for a parent, there's probably no more important subject for us to think about than how do we deal with our children when it comes to the issue of salvation. And some might think, oh, well, I don't have any kids, so this doesn't really apply to me. Some might think, well, my kids are grown, this doesn't apply to me. But I would simply say to you, if you're an aunt or an uncle, if you are a grandparent, you have influence in children's lives and you have opportunity to speak with, to deal with children. These are principles that apply no matter whether you have children or not. And so I want you to pay attention too. Don't just shut the switch off and say, I don't really have any of those, so this doesn't really apply to me. I encourage you, challenge you, listen up, pay attention. And maybe some are future parents. And so these principles certainly are, that we're going to be speaking about, certainly are relevant and applicable to every single one. And I also believe that this is very relevant to our church in particular right now. Many kids are running around in our church right now, young ones. And we've been praying. One of the major prayer requests that we have in men's prayer meeting is pray for the youth of our church, that God would deal with their heart, bring them to a place of salvation. We have many kids in our church, and all of them, every one of them, is an eternal soul. Amen? And there are several who are getting to an age where God can really begin to speak to them. And so I don't know necessarily what is going on in your own heart as parents, and I'm going to speak directly to you right now. I don't know necessarily what's going on in your own heart, but I do know this. As a parent, sometimes parents have fears. I know personally when my children were young, my first two especially, I had thoughts in my own heart about, you know, well, what if the rapture happens before my children get saved? Or things like this. What happens, or what will happen if they die before they make a profession of faith? I think there are sometimes fears that parents can have, but maybe a greater and more important thought that we ought to have, and maybe even a fear, but the more important one would actually be this: how do I know when my child is ready to be saved? Is that a question on your heart, on your mind? How do I know when my child is ready to be saved? I've dealt with enough children now over the years, almost 20 years in full-time ministry. I've dealt with enough children now to know that every child that says that they got saved didn't actually get saved. And here's the sad truth, actually. I don't think this is the way it should be, but this is the way it has been in times past. It's actually not unusual to have children make one profession and then later on make another profession and then years later actually make a third profession in order of salvation. Listen, I don't believe that's the way it should be, but I know that that's the way it can be and has been. In fact, honestly, I was one. I made a profession at 6 years old. I remember it very clearly. But I also remember the fact that there was a desire to be saved, and there was a man who, in all sincerity, was dealing with me, but I didn't understand repentance toward God. I did not understand why it was so important that I was needing to be saved. It was something I wanted to do because, you know, these are the words that are spoken, and this is, you know, I grew up in a good church and good preaching and so on, and this is what you're supposed to do. And of course, I want to make my parents happy. Besides, they want me to be saved so badly. I made a profession at 6 years old. I made another profession at 13 or 14 years old, all for the wrong reasons. Certainly able to understand the gospel, but all for the wrong reasons. Again, no repentance in my heart toward God. No guilt over my sin. It wasn't until I was 19 years old and God really began to hammer me with, because I had lived a life of wickedness in the world and recognized that the world doesn't ever pay out all that it promises, that my soul was condemned before God. And it was at that point in time that I truly repented of my sin and came to Christ. It was at that point in time when my life was changed and converted because of real salvation. What I'm saying to you is it's not unusual to have children make a profession and then later on another profession and then probably a third profession later after that. That's not the way it should be. That's confusion. And the Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion. But because of fears of parents, there can be sometimes a rush or a mishandling of salvation in children. Maybe you've had some of these fears as a parent. And hopefully I'm going to connect with you over the next handful of weeks here to help equip you in dealing with your own children about this issue of salvation, which is the most important issue that there is. There are some questions that sometimes we as parents have. And these are good questions. Like, how do we deal with our children when it comes to teaching them about Jesus Christ? How do we assure our hearts that maybe what has happened in their life when they do make a profession of faith, that it's genuine and real? How do we know that? How do we know when we've led them right? How do we know when we've led them wrong? Lots of questions. And I don't expect to answer every question that a parent might have, but I do want to try to lay this subject out from a biblical standpoint. And that's really where we need to focus, is from a biblical standpoint here. And so I want us to look at three passages quickly. This message this morning is introductory to where we're going. Okay, we'll get into some more specifics. But I want you to pay attention, and I want to lay the groundwork and the foundation for all the things that we're going to talk about and where we're going to go. But let's look at three passages of Scripture very quickly here as we move on through. Turn to Psalm 34 in verse 11, all right? Psalm 34 in verse 11. It's a Psalm of David here. But I want you to pay attention to what he says in verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. All right, so the psalmist here is inviting his children to, first of all, come, and then to hearken or listen, and he would teach them the fear of the Lord. You follow that in the passage? He says, come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, why was it important to teach the fear of the Lord? Well, if we look in the book of Proverbs, and we won't take the time to turn over there, the Bible calls the fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom. Amen? You following me here? So the psalmist says, come, children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not the end of wisdom. It's not coming to Christ for salvation. It's just the beginning of wisdom. It's the starting point. And here's a critical thought, a critical thing that needs to be considered. If a child does not have a fear of God in their heart, then that child is not in any place where they can be dealt with by God yet. All right, you following me here? Part of the reason why there's false professions, even as adults, we saw it in the Sunday school hour, the guy standing at the door, he made a mental assent to these truths, but there was no fear of God in his heart as to, listen, this is what makes my sin so exceeding sinful. This is what makes my sin a real issue, because I have a fear of God and his holiness, a God of righteousness, a God of justice, a God of judgment. Amen? How do you teach children the fear of God? Well, it's the responsibility of mom and dad. It's the responsibility of parents. And we do that through careful, diligent, consistent use of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. There must be faithful, diligent, consistent use of the Word of God to teach our children the character of God based on His Word. We need to teach our children a proper recognition of who God is, that He is holy, that He is righteous, He is just, and we are not. So when we teach our children the fear of the Lord, it's teaching them the character of God, but it's also an acknowledgement and a comparison to our own character in relation to God's. Do you understand what I'm saying here? But then we teach them how they can actually have a proper relationship with Him based on the foundation of a fear of God. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 19. I told you we're just going to look at three passages rather quickly here as foundational things. So stay with me. Matthew 19 and verse 14. Now look at let's start back in verse 13, okay? Then were there brought unto Him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto Me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Now, this verse is often used as a proof text to show that children can and should get saved very early. But notice what the context is of this passage. Verse 13 tells us that there were little children who were brought to Jesus so that He would put His hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. Right? But then Jesus says, "Allow the kids to come, suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto Me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." The children had come to see Jesus, and the disciples tried to run them away, but Jesus was not saying, "Let the children come to Me and get saved." This passage is not dealing with the salvation of these children at all. It's simply dealing with children who wanted to come to Jesus or see Jesus. And Jesus says, don't forbid them to do that, to come to Me. I want children to come. And the message that He gave to His disciples was, of such is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, those who come to Christ for salvation need to come as little children with a humble, trusting, obedient kind of heart. That's what He's talking about. Not the salvation of these kids. It's not a proof text to show that kids should get saved very early. That's not what it's talking about. Now turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Excuse me. And look at verse 14. Help if I was there. 2 Timothy 3:14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Now the Bible tells us, Paul talking to Timothy, he says, "You continue in the things that you have learned, the things that you've been taught, the things that you've been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And then he says that from a child you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Timothy had learned the scriptures from the time that he was a child. And those scriptures were able to make him wise unto salvation. Paul does not say that as a child Timothy became a child of God, a saved person, but he says that he had learned the scriptures which were able to make him wise unto salvation. In other words, As a child, the scriptures needed to be learned, which were able then to bring him to a place of salvation later on. As a child, he learned the word of God for the purpose that later God could save him through his knowledge of the scriptures. Listen, I'm convinced that many children who are making professions of salvation are not actually truly converted. Childhood professions are a problem. There has to be something wrong when children by the hundreds or even thousands are making professions, and by the time they hit their 20s, they want absolutely nothing to do with God. There has to be something wrong. I mean, we appreciate ministries like Answers in Genesis and so on. I appreciate them very much, Ken Ham and so on. But there was, I don't know, a few years ago, they were put out some materials on the issue of why kids are leaving the church. And when you read through all of that, they might give all kinds of reasons and so on, but the bottom line is the reason why kids, quote, leave the church is because they were never truly converted in the first place. One pastor said this. He said, "I wish I had a dollar for every person that had someone come to their house when they were a child and invite them to their church. They went to that church as a child. They prayed a prayer. As a child, they made a profession of salvation. But now that they are grown, they want nothing to do with Christ. They don't read their Bible. They're not interested even in Christianity. Many of them were even baptized, but there was no change at all in their life. You have to ask what is wrong when so many have what is supposed to be a conversion experience, but it never changes anything. You have to ask what's wrong. It's true. You have to ask why so many children are supposedly saved when they're young, but then when they're grown, they don't live like a Christian at all. Could it be that we're dealing with our children in a wrong way and causing them to make a false profession of salvation? Could it be? You know, I read this in my studies on this issue, and I'm going to draw from some personal experiences too. But I read this, which was an interesting statement. The statement was that as you study history, you can see that this phenomenon of childhood professions being and false professions is new to our generation. It was only within the last 100 years or so that we begin to see churches pulling kids down aisles, getting them to pray prayers and make some confession of conversion as a child. Another statement that was made that I found very interesting was, as you read through the book of Acts, not one time do you ever see a childhood profession. That was interesting to me. I'd never thought about it before. That ought to make us pay attention a little bit. Now, am I saying that kids can't get saved? That's not what I'm saying at all. And I'll explain some things here in a little while. But we need to have a clear understanding of where we're going. Here's how it goes. There's a preacher that I know of who has this testimony, that at the age of 2 years old, he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. He's a pastor. That's ridiculous to me. I'm just going to put it bluntly. It's impossible for a two-year-old to be able to understand what sin is, why it's wrong, God in His holiness and His judgment on sin, and cause them to turn and put their faith in what Jesus Christ has done on their behalf. It's impossible. And I'll explain why at another time. And honestly, friends, it would be a laughing matter if it wasn't so sad. On the other hand, I've heard of Bible college professors who say that parents should not make their kids memorize the Word of God. And they say that for a child to memorize the Word of God when they don't understand it is useless. And so you have to wait until the child's old enough to understand it before you introduce them to memorizing the Word of God. I also say that's utter foolishness, because the very Word of God itself teaches us that we ought to be teaching our children from the time they come from the womb, that we ought to be teaching them the Word of God and putting the seeds into their heart, into their mind. When they're very young, teaching them truth, line upon line, precept upon precept, principle upon principle. When you rise up, when you sit down, when you lay down, when you get up, while you walk by the way, teach them the Word of God. There has to be a proper balance here, is what I'm getting at. And what I'm saying here is that it's an issue that we should deal with very carefully as parents. You might ask this question, well, what age of children are we talking about here? I thought you might ask that. Good question. I'm not going to give you an age. I'm not going to set that for you. I can't do that. And I'll explain why later on as well. But for right now, just let me say that it's not so much a chronological age that's important as it is a maturity age that's important. Could a person... Now, I'll say something that maybe some of you won't like, but I'm going to say it anyway. Could a person get saved at the age of 6 or 7? Maybe. Only God really knows, but it's not probable. It's not probable. And I'll explain why I say that at another time as well. Okay? But the real question is this, and here's the important question. How do you know that a child, after praying a prayer, has actually gotten saved? How do you know when they're ready? How can you be sure? Should we assure them that they've been saved because they prayed the sinner's prayer and said the right words? Should we assure them or should we not? Well, this is a difficult subject. I grant you that. And it's a difficult subject because of a few reasons. Number one, it's a difficult subject because children are often unable to express themselves very clearly. You ask a child to explain what sin is, they'll have some answer for you, especially if they've attended a good church like ours where they're taught the Word of God. But they have a real hard time expressing what's actually going on inside of their heart. They might have a hard time expressing what they actually really do understand. Often, children will grope for words. Their vocabulary isn't that large to be able to clearly express some truth. And so it can make it difficult because children are often unable to express themselves very clearly. How do I really know what's going on in their heart? You following me? All right, is it connecting? I'm looking at some of you parents especially. Okay? Another reason why it can be difficult is because of this. It's difficult for us to fully understand what's actually happening inside of them, because we're not in them. Since they have a difficult time expressing themselves clearly, there might be more going on inside of them than what we're actually able to understand as we look on. And we try and we probe, but the truth is we can have a hard time understanding what's actually going on inside of them. Also, understand this, that the parent side of us can actually get in the way. There's an emotional barrier that can be there when it comes to dealing with our own children. Parents can have one of two attitudes. One, they could be, well, my kid's the smartest 5-year-old that has ever lived. My kid is brilliant. So clearly they understand. When it comes to dealing with our own kids, listen, we want them to be saved. Of course we do. They even say that they want to be saved. In fact, just the other day, There were two little girls in the church who were talking to each other, and they asked them each other if they were saved, and neither of them said they were, and they said they both wanted to be. That's actually a good thing, that they want to be. A child may be very sincere, but they might not understand all that they're actually expressing. Listen, it's easy to attend a church like ours. It's easy to learn the Word of God and learn about salvation and have all the right words and actually not know Christ personally. That alone makes it very difficult. A third reason, well, I'll get to the third reason in a second. I said parents can have one of two attitudes. Either my kid's the most brilliant five-year-old there ever was. Of course they understand. And a parent can be, I want my child to be saved. I want this for them. They even say they want to. And that can have a tendency to rush things in their life. Or secondly, a parent can be so afraid of leading a child in a false profession that they actually put off and don't deal with the child's heart. Giving a false sense of security is the thing that they're afraid of. And so they don't deal with the child's heart because of that fear. Listen, we want to be careful that we don't give a child a false sense of security for something that they don't actually possess. But on the other hand, we don't want to run to the other extreme either and push the child away. Neither one is right. There has to be a proper balance when it comes to this matter. A third reason why it can be difficult is this, because heart matters in general are very difficult to discern. That is true for adults as much as it is for children. Heart issues or heart matters in general are very difficult to discern. Listen, I've dealt personally with many people, adults. Like I said, almost over 20 years of full-time ministry that have come to me and said, preacher, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Can you help me? And so I sit down with them and try to understand what's going on in their heart. Are they really saved? They've just got some sin in their life that's unconfessed. Are they not saved? They've never truly repented of their sin. Where exactly do they stand with Christ? And try to figure this out and understand what's going on in their heart. But you know what? Here's the bottom line. When everything is said and done, after I've dealt with these people, I have to tell them this. I cannot tell you for sure whether you are saved or not. I can't do that. I can give you some things to look at. I can point you to the scriptures. I can put you in the right direction. But only you can know for sure if you're saved. I can't tell you for sure one way or the other because I can't discern a person's heart. Only God can. It's hard for me in working with an adult to discern where their heart is at. And if that is true, then it's going to be doubly so with a child. A child's going to have trouble expressing what's really going on in their heart. They can have trouble expressing their feelings, their understanding. As a parent or even as a pastor, I'm going to have a little bit of trouble expressing what I'm trying to say to them in such a way that that child can understand it and grasp the truth of it in order to make a right assessment. Now turn over to Proverbs chapter 23. All right, stay with me. Come on. Stay awake. Stay with me. All right. Proverbs 23. And I want you to look at verses 24 to 26 with me. Verse 24 says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." Now we read this and we say, okay, in verse 24, the father of the righteous is going to greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child is going to have joy of him. The father and the mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Hey, that's awesome. I love the sound of that. Isn't that the kind of life that you want your child and your family to have? You want your kids to live wisely. You want kids to make wise choices so both the mother and the father can rejoice. And listen, he says in the very last verse, in verse 26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Listen, we can experience that kind of joy. It's possible to have that joy with our kids when we have the child's heart. But parents, understand this. It's more than just give me your heart and do what I tell you to do. It's give me your heart, listen to what I say and I teach you, and then observe my life as well. Watch how I live. Your life and my life better back up what we say, what the Word of God says. Listen, this may explain sometimes why children have difficulty in the matter of salvation. It could be oftentimes that parents don't actually live the right kind of life, and the kids see a disconnect between what is preached and what is taught, what the Word of God says, and how the parents actually live. Why is it important to have the child's heart? Why does it tell us in the Proverbs here in verse 26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways? Why is this important, especially when it comes to the issue of salvation? Three reasons. Number one, because they need to carefully listen when we speak to them about Christ. Here's why it's important for a child, for us to have our children's heart, because they need to carefully listen when we teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. As you tell them about who Jesus Christ is and what He's done for them, you want them, listen, you want them to be listening with every fiber of their being. This is important. You want them to listen intently. You want them to hear what you have to say about Jesus Christ and who He is. Listen, your children need to realize that this is the most important matter in all of their life. This is more important than who they're going to marry someday. It's more important than the kind of job that they're going to have for the rest of their life. It's more important than where they're going to live, where they're going to take up residence. Listen, parents, we can teach our kids that other things are important, more important than salvation. We can teach our kids that just simply by the way that we live or the things that we emphasize. What they do with Jesus Christ is the most important decision that they're ever going to make, and so they need to listen carefully. This is why it's important to have their heart. Number two, it's important to have their heart because they also need to understand the urgency of salvation. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Even though that they are young, they need to understand that salvation is not something to put off. Once you understand what God says about sin, and once you understand what God says about salvation, as God begins to draw your heart, son, daughter, you need to respond to Him. Parents who treat salvation like it's not the most important thing can leave the wrong impression in their child's mind and heart. They can leave the impression that this is not a big deal. That this is a decision for me to make when I'm older. I'll just wait until then, and then I'll get it taken care of. Parents, that is a sad mistake to make in raising our kids. Salvation is the most important thing. There is an urgency to it. But then thirdly, we need to have their heart because we need to warn them that their lives are going to be wasted without Jesus Christ. They need to understand this. I don't want my children to be saved one day later than what they have to be. Why? Because as soon as they come to Jesus Christ in real salvation, their life can be set in the right direction. They don't have to experience a lot of the things that I did. We're going to look at three different areas in regards to this subject of dealing with our children. We're going to approach this whole idea from three separate viewpoints or subjects in dealing with this. We're going to look at some things that we need to expect when we're dealing with our children. We're going to look at some things that we need to examine as we deal with them. And thirdly, we're going to look at some things that we need to express as we deal with them. Next week, we're going to look at two main things that we must expect when dealing with our children. I'll just briefly touch on them now to set the stage. So, things that we must expect when we're dealing with our children, things we need to examine as we deal with them, and then things we need to express to them as we deal with them. Next week, we'll look at things we need to expect. There are two main things. What should we expect when we're dealing with our children? That first of all, there's going to be a period of development. A period of development. What do I mean by that? Well, here's what I mean. That there's going to be a time in a child's life, a period of development, where the seeds of the Word of God are sown in their heart. They are planted. Those seeds need to be watered. There's a time when it develops inside of them as the Word of God grows in them and their understanding grows. There's a period of time when they're too young to grasp the truth of who Christ is and how God sees them as a sinner. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be planting seeds. Doesn't mean that at all. It just means that it's a period of development in their life. As a child, they're not going to be able to understand what sin is or what it means to be a sinner or that Jesus Christ is my Savior and my substitute. They're not going to understand those things fully. And though we might be able to teach them verses, we teach them songs, we talk about these truths, we can get them to mouth some words, we can get them to sing some songs, certainly, but there's a time when they don't fully understand all of those truths. It's why it's so important to not play the Holy Spirit in a person's life and let the Word of God and the Spirit of God do the developing. And the reason why it's necessary is simply because they're too young to comprehend it all. There's a difference between understanding and just repeating what you've learned. Like the guy standing at the door. Pray this prayer after me. Are you with me? Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know that you died for me. I know that you died for me. Would you please save me now? Would you please save me now? There can be a lot of mental assent. Amen. You can get a child to repeat a prayer. Absolutely. Do you want to be saved? Well, yeah, I want to be saved, Daddy. Okay, say these words. But do they understand and fully grasp the issue of the heart that I am in, that my sin and who I am in my nature is offensive to God, and God is going to judge my sin because God is holy and He is righteous and He is just, and every sin has to be excuse me, dealt with and paid for. I can't pay for my own. Jesus Christ did it for me. I believe that with all of my heart, that He is sinless and perfect. He's the Son of God, and He shed His blood so that I could be saved. I believe that. You see, you understand what I'm saying here? It is critically important that they fully understand. And so there's a period of time in their life where it's developing. That period of time ends in what some people call the age of accountability. When the child reaches an age where they're accountable to God for their sin. When we cover this, we're going to look at three passages of Scripture that'll explain what that means. But for now, let's understand that childhood is a time of teaching. Childhood is a time of cultivation. It's a time for finishing the product. It's a time for planting, not a time for fruit bearing. We don't expect full fruit out of our children, We expect to be planting just like in a garden. We plant the seed, there's a time for it to develop, and then ultimately it'll bring forth fruit. Amen? Does that make sense? The emphasis given in the New Testament for children is Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Why is that an emphasis? Because mom and dad have the job of teaching our children the Word of God and the things of God. So children, obey your parents. Why? Because it's our job to teach them the things of God. Amen? We're to teach them and plant the truth in their heart. And then as they get older, they're going to be able to make wise choices in their life concerning the things of God. So there's going to be a period of development, but secondly, there's a period of discernment. So that's the next thing that we'll consider even next week. We need to expect a point of discernment. If indeed there's a time of development in a child's life, then there's also going to come a point of discernment. There will be that point in our children's lives, a point when they do understand. But that time or that point is not easily discerned or easily identified. And it's not something that we can just very easily and confidently recognize as parents. But there are some things that will help us, some things that will help us in regards to understanding when they do discern what the Lord is saying. So, in conclusion, for today, what does it mean? And what does this say to us as parents? Well, we need to teach our children. That's what it says. We need to train them. We need to give them the Word of God, and we need to give it often, and we need to give it early. And then we need to trust that the Lord will be faithful to do as only He can do, and that is draw them to Himself in the right time. We can't fully understand their heart because we're not in their heart. So let's not naively accept some quick prayer that they might pray and proclaim them as being saved. Salvation is the most important thing in their life, and it needs to be treated that way. You know, there's a lot of people in Christianity today that come lightly to Christ, as if they were choosing what flavor of ice cream that they want to eat. Oh yeah, I'll take some of Christ today, but tomorrow I might change my mind. Some people naively call that salvation, but that's not salvation. Because the power of God that works salvation completely transforms and changes a life. Salvation, genuine conversion, and genuine salvation is a commitment to the person of Jesus Christ. That He is my Lord. That there's none of me and it's all of Him. Listen, the idea of giving up sin, we've been talking about that in the Sunday school hour and so on. Giving up sin, quote, giving up sin will never save a person. As in, I have to give up this and I have to quit that and I've got to do this and then I'll be saved. That's never going to save a person, reforming your life. Why? Because the problem isn't some sins that our children have committed. The problem is that they are sinners by nature. It is who they are, and they cannot change themselves. And so it is with you and with me. God has to change us. God has to be the one to change them. And when a person truly comes to the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation, there is allegiance to the Lord that says, Lord, here I am, I'm yours, I give up, I quit, it's all you. You take the reins. That is the heart attitude that needs to be there for a person to be saved. And listen, I would simply say this as I close here this morning. As an adult, if that didn't happen in your life, then you need to be saved too. Salvation is a commitment to Christ. That is true for children. That's true for adults. So, important issue, amen? Sobering issue, amen? And I'm prayerful that this connects in the next several weeks and that the Word of God is helpful to us because we have a lot of little ones running around these halls that are eternal souls for whom Christ died. Let's deal with the issue right. Let's deal with it carefully. Amen. As we continue to pray that the Lord would save the young ones of our church. I know that this is a real issue with some of you parents. I know it because I'm a parent too. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to understand that we can trust you. Lord, that you'd help us to understand that it's not really about us. But Father, it's about the Word of God that is quick and powerful, that is sharper than any two-edged sword, that pierces and divides and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of a person's heart. It's about the Word of God that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It's about the Spirit of God who works to draw every soul to himself, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage parents over the next several weeks with some principles. There may be some fears and there may be some questions as some of their children are growing in years and coming to more understanding of truth and the knowledge that they need to be saved. There might be some questions and some fears. Lord, I pray that you take your word and you would equip us to be able to deal rightly and to trust you. Father, I pray for these young ones that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in real, genuine salvation that transforms a life, that we may not be able to see all of the fruit of it immediately in a young child's life, but later on, we'll be able to see the real evidence of good choices and a heart for God and a heart to love the Lord that only comes from one who is a true child of God. It doesn't have to be so that a whole generation of kids who grew up in a church leave when they're 18 years old. It doesn't have to be so. But it starts early. It starts young. And it's a critical thing. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to embrace that and understand that. That the years go by so quickly. Lord, I also pray for those who may not be saved, even some who've had professions of faith in the past. Maybe there has been some childhood professions that some are clinging to, but they've never known Jesus Christ in a personal way. Lord, only you know hearts. Only you can discern a heart. And Lord, we trust that you will, that you'll accomplish your purpose in Jesus' name. Amen.